Good morning. I'm excited to be here today, and I want to thank you all for coming. I also want you to know that I love being at BYU, where we pursue education for eternity by becoming bilingual in the language of scholarship and spirituality. I love gathering each week to hear a devotional speaker, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak to you today. I pray for the Spirit to be with us. My message today is for all who want to know where they must go to strengthen their faith while pursuing intellectual learning. In the Book of Mormon, Lehi was called to go to a new promised land with his family. While traveling in the wilderness, he had a dream. He shared, "I beheld myself that I was in a dark and dreary waste. And after I had traveled for the space of many hours in darkness, I began to pray unto the Lord that he would have mercy on me, according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was sweet above all I ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partake of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceedingly great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit." In this dream, we see Lehi going to light, represented by a bright white fruit, being filled with light when he tasted that fruit, and then sharing the light he had by offering to give it to his family. In the scriptures, the Lord often teaches us with patterns. The pattern of go to light, be filled with light, and share light is one such example and is what I would like to talk about today. First, go to light. Nephi was also headed to the promised land with his father Lehi. In the midst of their challenges in the wilderness, he was shown his father Lehi's dream, and the dream was interpreted for him by an angel. He was shown the tree, whose brightness did exceed the whiteness of the driven snow, and was told that this bright white tree represented the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father, and the love of God, the most desirous above all things, and the most joyous to the soul. Nephi learned that Jesus Christ is the light. He is the most joyous to the soul, and he is the most desirable above all things. Christ himself declared, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He also said, "I am the light which shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Just as Christ gave light and direction to Lehi and Nephi in the wilderness, he will help give us that same joy, knowledge, and peace if we go to his light. When we do, he promises, "I will be your light in the wilderness, and I will prepare the way before you." Prior to coming to BYU, I was a professor of entomology at the University of Missouri for almost 20 years. I taught entomology courses and conducted research with insects that affect human structures and indoor environments, as well as other insects that affect human health. As a result, I often find myself noticing how something to do with insects teaches us something about real life or the gospel. Today, I'd like to illustrate the principle of going to light using an insect analogy. Insects have an amazing capacity to detect and respond to light. I'm certain each one of you has observed insects that are attracted to your porch light. Phototaxis is the scientific term that refers to how organisms move in response to light. Many insects demonstrate positive phototaxis, meaning they go toward light. Moths are especially attracted to light and demonstrate a positive phototaxis. They navigate towards light with a consistent, faithful response. They cannot resist the stimulus the light provides, and the response is very strong. On the other hand, there are insects who demonstrate negative phototaxis, meaning they go away from light. Insects like cockroaches and bedbugs have strong negative phototaxis. Instead of going to light, they shun and reject it. They prefer to stay in darkness. When directed to follow Christ, how do we react? Do we go to Christ's light like a moth, or do we go away from him like a cockroach? Come unto me, the Lord said, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Going to Christ is necessary to strengthen ourselves spiritually. And it's a great blessing to be at BYU, where we are encouraged to go to Christ and to become bilingual in the language of both faith and scholarship. True disciple scholars have faith in Christ and choose to go to the light Christ gives as they study and learn. I invite us all to be moths and not cockroaches. Have the faith to go to Jesus Christ. His light is the most joyous influence in our lives when we make him the most desirable influence in our lives. Second, be filled with light. When we choose to go to Christ, we can be filled by his powerful light that gives us strength we didn't have before. Beautiful orange and black monarch butterflies and the equally beautiful yellow and black caterpillars that they come from are examples of being filled with strength and power. Their attractive coloration makes them easily detected by predators. However, they avoid being eaten because their bodies are filled with powerful compounds called cardenolides. These compounds make them bitter to the taste and toxic to predators, including birds, who vomit after eating them and who learn to avoid this brightly colored prey. What's more interesting is that cardenolides are not made by the insect. Cardenolides come from milkweed plants. The caterpillars are filled with cardenolides as they eat the plant or absorb them through their exoskeletons while in contact with the milky sap and leaves of milkweed. Older caterpillars even drink the sap, thus ensuring they get plenty inside to protect them throughout the subsequent pupal and adult stages of their lives. Like monarch caterpillars and butterflies become filled with powerful protection when they are in contact with milkweed, we can be filled with power and protection if we stay close to Jesus Christ. He taught, "And if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light, and there shall be no darkness in you. And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things." He has also said, "I will impart unto you of my spirit, which shall enlighten your mind, which shall fill your soul with joy." We can be filled with light when we learn the word of the Lord. His word is found in the scriptures and inspired teachings of Latter-day prophets. When words of light enter our minds and the Holy Ghost takes them into our souls, we are guided, led, inspired, blessed, healed, and lifted. For the word of the Lord is truth, and whatsoever is truth is light. And whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. Alma taught the word had a more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword or anything else which had happened unto them. And Paul taught, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We can have both quick and powerful spiritual experiences as we stay close to the word of the Lord. Even just a few minutes of reading, studying, and pondering can quickly focus our attention on Jesus Christ and fill us with strength. Elder David A. Bednar said that searching the scriptures, quote, can open the floodgates of the spiritual reservoir, enlighten our understanding through his spirit, and produce a depth of gratitude for the Holy Scriptures and a degree of spiritual commitment that can be received in no other way. We can also be filled with light when we visit the house of the Lord and participate in the ordinances of the temple. In the house of the Lord, he manifests himself to us and speaks to us with his own voice. Temples are filled with glorious light on the inside, and they radiate light on the outside. The prophet Ezekiel saw latter-day temples and recorded, "Behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house." The Lord spoke to Joseph Smith in the Kirtland, Ohio temple, saying, "I will manifest myself to my people in mercy in this house. Yea, I will appear unto my servants and speak unto them with mine own voice, if my people will keep my commandments." When we go to the temple, he can manifest himself to us and we can be filled with light. President Russell M. Nelson has spoken often of temples and the power we receive when we go to the house of the Lord. He said, quote, "If you don't yet love to attend the temple, go more often, not less. Let the Lord, through his Spirit, teach and inspire you there. I promise you that over time, the temple will become a place of safety, solace, and revelation." Close quote. We can also be filled with light when we feel the mercy of the Lord. Sin can be a heavy burden to bear, but we are promised the light of mercy when we repent. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught, quote, "Surely the thing God enjoys most about being God is the thrill of being merciful, especially to those who don't expect it and often feel they don't deserve it." Close quote. Alma the Younger explained how this happened for him. He said, "While I was harrowed up by the memory of my many sins, behold, I remembered also to have heard my father prophesy unto the people concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God, to atone for the sins of the world. Now, as my mind caught hold upon this thought, I cried within my heart, O Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me, who am in the gall of bitterness. And now, behold, when I thought this, I could remember my pains no more. Yea, I was harrowed up by the memory of my sins no more. And oh, what joy and what marvelous light I did behold. Yea, my soul was filled with joy as exceeding as was my pain." Alma was filled with joy and light after he cried out for mercy. We can all repent and be filled with the light of mercy. Sincere repentance is the path to mercy and light and joy. President Russell M. Nelson invited us to discover the joy of daily repentance and said, quote, "Please do not fear or delay repenting. Satan delights in your misery. Cut it short. Cast his influence out of your life. Start today to experience the joy of putting off the natural man. The Savior loves us always, but especially when we repent." Close quote. We have a chance to feel the mercy of the Lord each week by repenting and partaking of the sacrament with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When we partake of the sacrament humbly and intentionally, we find mercy and are filled with the light of peace and joy. There is something hopeful and encouraging in knowing that we can repent and feel light regularly. It is such a blessing to be at BYU when President Reese has urged us to become the university that prophets have foretold. Becoming BYU will require individual reflection and spiritual growth from us, individually. I invite each of us to become filled with more light than we currently have inside and become individually engaged with achieving the vision of becoming BYU. I invite you to be like a monarch and fill yourselves with Christ's powerful light. Third, share light. When we choose to go to light and are filled with light, we can then share light with others. Sharing light is one of the most important reasons to be filled with light. In fact, we often feel a compelling desire to share light because we want others to feel what we are feeling. I hope you don't mind one more insect analogy. Fireflies are known for making bioluminescent light inside their bodies to share with other fireflies. What is often not known about fireflies is that they're actually beetles, but that's for another lecture. Bioluminescence is a chemical reaction where the compound luciferin reacts with luciferase, oxygen, and ATP under the right conditions to produce light. Oxygen regulates the frequency and duration of their flashes, and fireflies control the amount of oxygen that goes to the light organs in their abdomen. As they increase oxygen, it increases the intensity of the light, somewhat like revving a car engine. The intensity and frequency of the flashes, the rhythm of the flashing patterns, and the movements they make while flashing send unique messages that attract, warn, or even deceive other fireflies. Just as fireflies share messages of light from within, we can share light that is within us. We control the intensity, frequency, and duration of the light we share. Jesus Christ said, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We can regularly ask ourselves, what messages am I sharing? And as you ask this question, think about what Christ has taught. "Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." As we do the works Christ would do, we share his message and hold up his light. In what some call his Sermon on the Plains in Luke 6, Jesus Christ taught how to hold up his light. He said, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you." We send messages of light when we give, forgive, and love others. Jesus said, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." We hold up his light when we give. Giving brings feelings of joy to both the giver and receiver. A story by Elder Dieter F. Uchtdorf illustrates how both the giver and receiver are blessed with light. He tells about a man who lived in Africa who, quote, because of a disability, had never been able to walk. He was forced to spend most of his time in his parents' home. He could not work. He could not go out with his friends. He could not do even the simple things we take so much for granted. Then he heard something remarkable. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was bringing wheelchairs to an event not far from his home. He asked a friend to take him to the event, and there he watched as dozens of disabled men, women, and children were lifted into new, gleaming, shiny wheelchairs. He waited in line until finally it was his turn. Two men lifted him into a chair, and for the first time in his life, he was able to move freely. At first, he moved about hesitantly, but as he got the feel of the wheelchair, he moved more courageously. He turned, twisted, and sprinted. He waved enthusiastically with both hands as he raced past his friend. The look on his face was one of joy. After a time, however, he slowly wheeled the chair back to the others, and with an expression of calm resignation, he prepared to be helped out. "What are you doing?" his friend asked. The man smiled and shrugged his shoulders. "It is someone else's turn now," he said. The church humanitarian missionary nearby knelt beside him and said, "This wheelchair is yours." The man couldn't believe it. He had assumed this event was only to demonstrate what it was like to ride in a wheelchair. "Is it truly mine?" he asked. "But I have no money." "Yes, it is yours. It is a gift from people who love you." When the reality of what was happening finally sunk in, this humble man looked at his friend and he looked at the missionary. They tried to hold back the tears, but it was in vain. As he wept, he laughed at the sheer joy of what he felt. Close quote. Both the man receiving the gift and the missionary that gave the gift felt light. By giving, we share light. But remember that Paul taught it is more blessed to give than receive. I saw this happen recently when I was with BYU's young ambassadors on their tour in Brazil. They are great examples of sharing light by giving of their time and talents. During the tour, they spent time with many who were facing challenges, whether in a dance studio for the blind, a nursing home for the elderly, a clinic for chronically ill children, or a hospital for at-risk newborn babies and destitute mothers. They shared light. They sang songs in Portuguese, gave gifts, and showed love and concern for everyone they met. I wish you could have been there to see the weary looks on the faces of those destitute mothers when they came into the room with their tiny, frail babies, and the contrasting looks of pure joy in their eyes and light after being with the young ambassadors. I also wish you could have seen the looks on the faces of the young ambassadors when they left feeling the pure joy and light of giving. We also hold up his light when we forgive. Jesus said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Forgiving is not forgetting or excusing what happened or repairing the relationship. Forgiving happens when we intentionally let go of anger, resentment, or vengeance that we feel towards a person. Forgiving shares light. In the parable of the unmerciful servant, the servant owed his king a very large debt and could not pay it. The king had compassion and freely forgave his servant. This same servant was owed a very small debt by someone who could not repay him. The servant, however, would not forgive their debt and had them by the throat to kill them. When the king found out, he called the servant and said, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. Like the king, we can have compassion for those who offend us. Forgiveness will bless the offender, but it will be a greater blessing for the offended. President Russell M. Nelson said, "It is usually easy to forgive one who sincerely and humbly seeks your forgiveness, but the Savior will grant you the ability to forgive anyone who has mistreated you in any way. Then their hurtful acts can no longer canker your soul." We also hold up his light when we love others as he did. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." Loving shares light. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches what it means to love our neighbor. In the parable, a traveler is beaten, robbed, and left for dead along the road. A priest and a Levite pass by without offering any kind of help. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Jesus Christ taught in this parable that to love our neighbor means to serve our neighbor. When we love others like this Samaritan, we share light. I have known many modern-day Samaritans. A friend of mine named Larry is an amazing example of showing love for others. He once shared, quote, "When I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at age 35, one of the many things I quickly learned was that I needed to be willing to serve others. Whether it was to help someone move, offer lawn care, do repairs, or provide transportation, I tried as much as possible to respond to requests for service from my quorum or from individuals." He goes on, "I once had an opportunity to serve an older couple. Their small, old country home needed a lot of repairs, including its leaky roof. The couple suffered from serious health challenges that prevented them from doing physical labor. On a hot day in July, my good friend and I were up on the roof putting down new shingles. We were very uncomfortable in the hot sun and dripping with sweat. Suddenly, my friend stopped nailing, stood up, and looked at me. 'Do you realize how blessed we are to be the ones capable of being up here doing this work and not the ones inside who can't?' he asked. His question hit me like a bolt of lightning. It was literally a life-changing moment. My whole perspective on service took on new meaning. I realized how blessed I was to be able to do the things I could do. The Lord had blessed us with the ability to be His hands. With that realization, it was easy for me to feel love for those we were helping." Close quote. We can have life-changing moments in our lives when we share light by loving and serving others. President Henry B. Eyring has testified, quote, "We grow closer to the Savior as we, out of pure love, serve others for Him." Close quote. I think it is instructive that as we share His light, we also go to His light, and the pattern builds on itself. Jesus Christ taught this pattern. "That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light. And that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day." It is such a blessing to be at BYU, where our motto reminds us to love and serve others. We enter to learn so that we can go forth to serve in many ways. Please don't wait until you go forth at the end of your time at BYU to serve others as Christ did. I invite you to be like fireflies and share light with each other as you go forth from your classrooms every day by giving, forgiving, and loving each other. In summary, I hope you'll remember three things from this devotional. One, remember to go to His light. Christ is powerful and merciful. He is the light of the whole world. Have faith to go to Him. Second, remember to be filled with His light. By learning the word of the Lord, visiting the house of the Lord, and feeling the mercy of the Lord, you will be filled with His joyous light. Finally, remember to share His light by doing the things Christ did, especially giving, forgiving, and loving others. I testify of Jesus Christ. He is where we go to find light and to be filled with strength. I testify that when we go to Christ's light, are filled with His light, and share His light with others, we realize that it truly is the most desirous above all things and the most joyous to the soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.